The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Secure the template. Set the backside guide to appropriate lock set basket. The backside guide tabs include setting the jig, possession template. What the hell am I reading?
That's a f***ing crock of shit. Sorry for my language.
That's all right. Do you want to reword that?
All right. I think it's a waste of money.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cotola.
Two guys pull together, it's teamwork. In foul or sunny weather, it's teamwork. What does it take to make any business climb? You'll find it takes teamwork every time. Incidentally, your jokes will kill the oak. It's teamwork. I love your hokey vocals. It's teamwork. Like Fred Astaire and Ginger Ale.
Twice as sleek, we'll give them that teamwork.
Cheek to cheek. Here we are, just like in Zanzibar.
Still nothing, still a star.
That's quite a stab from old Flag. They always pay us plenty for teamwork. We split it 80-20. That's teamwork.
Yours is tax-free.
When others start to part and go off the beam, like Siamese brothers, like Siamese brothers, like Siamese brothers, we'll be on each other's team. Fuss about the billing, it's teamwork. The smallest type is thrilling, it's teamwork. Although we hold each other in low esteem, we're loaded with teamwork.
Hitter.
What's life without team?
No boy,
unless you got teamwork, there's no team.
That's a f***ing crock of shit. Sorry for my language.
That's all right. Do you want to reword that?
All right. I think it's a waste of money.
Father of internet radio, the bard of broadcasting, me, and another half of me is here later. Well, not that much later. It's a good old Tom Savino, my former partner in so many ways. Teamwork continues tonight. You gotta listen to this. You just got to. Force yourself to stay up. Like, we're not gonna be interesting enough. My name is Rancatolo. Man, his name is George. The title of the program, I'm the third man. And I'm here. And I'm here. I'm still here. cap to ice cap from Hamlet to City from Othello and into every bordello. I wonder how many people consisting of the newest listeners. Man, I got a lot of generations going on here, you know. The newest listeners could even identify who was singing that song that opened up the show. You know, actually, I was thinking that, you know, it doesn't open up the show. What opens up the show is the theme, our theme, and then a theme we inherited, and nobody knows, because we do contests here and nobody ever gets them. I think we've lost a lot of the, geez, I hate to say the word mature. I hate that. You know, it's like, you know why? Because somewhere along the line, that was not a very popular phrase in pop culture, mature, right? But what happened was the porn industry brought that out again. They made it mature, which means, yes, of course, you're over 18. That now no longer, right? Because in porn, you had to be. So, you know, and so most people were, I guess, I don't know. I'm not indicting anyone. I'm just saying, but suddenly people still wanted to do porn past a certain age. And, they had to come up with a genre. So they came up with mature. Mature. So there were women who were once, you know, young and then now they're older. They call them old and call them older or elders. You know, they call them mature. And suddenly that came about. Now, the only other place I saw it, and people did not pay attention to it like they do in porn, because in regular movies, people don't pay attention. I shouldn't judge everyone. But it said, for mature audiences only. For mature audiences only. And they meant, see, when they said that, when they put up an M, they meant 21 or 18. Did they mean 18 or 21? It was 18. I don't know. I don't even remember that. That's when they used to have X-rated films and R-rated films. Like, it's impossible anymore to distinguish where, you know, legally, 18 is still legal and 21 is still legal in for certain things, okay? But everyone talks like they're mature, right? That's the whole thing. So where that gets us, I don't know, other than the fact that I don't think younger people listening probably have their own podcasts anyway, looking for listeners. Look out. Anyway, that was Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, and a song that was written for them for their team movies. I don't know, you young people don't know this. You know, I take that for granted. I guess I shouldn't. I really shouldn't. I think they're making too much of that. There are some studious people out there, right? There are pop culture savvy Zoomers. I'll bet you. I know. And all these people have not, I mean, they're on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube. So, you look for it, right? You find it. Anyway, these pop culture studious, I didn't say pop culture savvy. No. The name's Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. And that was the team that was most, you say most like, that was, they were a different kind of team because they all had individual lives and individual careers doing individual things. Now, they weren't always playing in it. They weren't always together. It's not like they split up. They split up every time they didn't do a movie. My point is, if there is a point, that particular team, and you could go to YouTube and look up some of these road movies. I won't name them all for you because I don't know if I'd get them all right. There were a handful of road movies over a couple of decades. You know, Road to Zanzibar, Road to Morocco, Road to Rio. That was my favorite. All those. And together, they had a certain rapport and chemistry. So, but it wasn't like your regular comedy team. They weren't like, here's the smart one, here's the stupid one, although you could argue that. My point being that Tom Savino and I were more like Crosby and Hope than we were like the Three Stooges and three of them, but, you know, took three of them to do that. Or even, you know, Abbott and Costello or the Olsen brothers. There was no such person as the Olsen brothers. I met Olsen and Johnson. Wait, they were the Olsen sisters, weren't they? I have no idea. I have been just meandering through my life over the past couple of weeks doing tons of things. And here I am again. My name is Frank Atola, man's name adorns the title of the show. Tom Savino was supposed to be on last week, but he became ill. Please do not be alarmed. He didn't become that ill. He became another kind of ill. And I'm sure he'll describe his symptoms to us, even though he's feeling better. And a lot of things that Tom, that people don't know about Tom, which will be fun. Now, Tom also had a show called Savino Veritas, which used to follow my show. He did that for a certain amount of time and then, didn't do it. See, that's what happens. Not everybody gets on behind a mic like I do and then like 20 years later goes, what the hell did I do? You know, not everyone does that, but I did because I'm the vegetable man and I'm the third man, right? I'm the difficult historian. And none of that is true. Let me tell you about some of the things coming up, we hope, because we still do have some broadcasting problems. You know, as time goes on, we have some problems here. So whenever we are not here, whenever I'm not talking like this, and if I'm talking like this, sometimes it might be a repeat. This is not a repeat. This is brand spanking new here. Y2K plus 20 in, as February ends. It's over. That's it. 29 days. This is the year they had to add a day. Don't ask me how they do that. And I really don't even know exactly why. And I'm sure that there are plenty of people who don't know Bob Hope and Bing Crosby who also don't know why. But I want you to take note on what I said about maturity in terms of pop culture. Because all you gotta do is get on Twitter. And, you know, your Zoomers are talking like, I don't even know what they're saying sometimes because it's not a complete sentence. And I don't know who they're saying it to, these things they say. And the language is now, you know, normal. All language is normal now. So it could be atmosphere appropriate. So like if you do go to certain places, you won't yell out, you know. But the way, and I know because I, you know, I've hanged out with millennials and some Zoomers. Actually, these millennials became, well, no, they were still Zoomers. We had a younger millennial on this show last year, not a stranger, I mean unidentified. We promised, and we kept our promise, and learned a lot about what that generation is doing. We also learned that none of them are listening here, so I don't know what I'm thinking about. I don't think we have that audience. But I don't know anymore. I'm mature. But anyway, that's a whole show in its own. I could talk about that over and over and over again. I won't, though. I am going to tell you a couple of things that are happening, and of course, I'll hawk some books. It's good to, I don't really know when my books sell, other than when I get my bank statement, because Amazon and Blurb and, you know, they toss it into my bank account. My cut, of course, they get their cuts. And, what is that? Excuse me. And I do get, you know, I get sales. So, but recently, I don't know which one's which, though, because some of them are different prices. Or there's one, the poetry book, Wordsworth Shelley, I don't often talk about that one, is the cheapest. Because I figured, who reads poetry? You know, maybe so it's like a couple of cents. I don't even know how much it is there at Amazon. But I don't think I get a lot out of that. And I don't understand, no matter what the price is, you know, I shouldn't even say this stuff because I don't keep track of it. Okay. So I don't know. If I went and looked it up, I would know. So it's not their fault. There's a lot of things I could blame. I could yell about if I wanted to yell about Amazon. Not that I'm going to waste any of my energy with it, but I'm not going to do that. All I'm telling you is that I got books, and there are other people who are on this show who have books and will be back on this show who have books. And I think you should look into them. You could look into well, that's not a book. You could look into Charles Dennis, who's on this show many times. He has some books. Go to Amazon. Go to Amazon first. I don't think these people have books in other places. Although a man named Mark Kramer has The Man on a Green Bike. That's at Barnes & Noble. So that's right. Even Barnes & Noble has its own site. I wonder if and then you can get books at a number of them too. I don't know. I don't keep track of this. All right. I just look for the checks and then I do what I do with my money like you do what you with your money, and that's it. By the way, you're welcome for the wonderful radio. And we're going to have some wonderful radio, too. We're going to talk about radio. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff. And whatever comes to mind, this is going to be a very off-the-cuff thing. It's going to be like you listening to Tom and I, who are buddies since well, I don't like that word. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said that. I don't like that word. And remember, who said that? When Dr. Popoli was on, he goes, hey, you know, him on one of my buddies. I don't like that word, buddies. Even if they're mature buddies, I don't like it. I don't like buddies. Friend is good with me. You know, you only have a couple of good friends, really good friends in your life. Tom is one of them. And he's going to be on. If he didn't fall asleep or take medicine that makes him, although he'd be okay if he's high. I don't care. Charles Dennis, who, of course, the last time was on here, was on with Fred Malamud. And who else was he on with? No, I don't have to do anything. But anyway, he has some books. Look for him. Look for his books. Craig Lehner has two books about outer space basketball or something. Right. It shouldn't all be basketball or something, whatever it is. Craig Lehner. He's coming back too. We're gonna chew the fat or however they talk that, not that stuff. Where's that other, here's another one. Oh yes, okay. Charles Wagner. And of course the Artist D has books. And they're available, I believe, on Amazon. And, yeah, those are the books. That's it. I know I'm missing them. Jonathan Geffner was on here earlier this year, and he, of course, is the ventriloquist. And his YouTube series with Trillo and Suede, him and his partner, Trillo and Suede, see, one of them is just walks around with it. They have gone since they were there. They came here. Anyway, the ninth part, part nine, is on YouTube. This is free. You go there, go to YouTube, and Trillo and Suede, T-R-I-L-L-O, as my mother would say, T-R-L-L-O, and Suede. That's S-U-E-D-E, like the fabric. Not fabric, is it? The material. The material that you rock and roll with and dance in your shoes and you don't want anybody to step on. And then I think that goes to 10, and then he's going to work on episode 2. Mary Parr, for some reason or another, she's very busy, and we gave her some airtime here, and she was on our show. She has a YouTube show. As far as I know, it's still going on. I don't know where she went, but, you know, people are busy. They don't, you know, we'll get in touch with her. And she said she'd be on again, and she will, and we'll see what's happening. Unless she's given up, and I'm not giving up. I don't mean it in that respect. I gave up. I mean, quit the show. I don't even mean quit. That has bad connotations. Unless she stopped doing her show. Let's just do it that way. On YouTube. But it's still there. All of it's still there. Last I looked. YouTube, Mary Parr. P-A-R-R. Mary Parr. What else? At juicedtalk.com, all free. Now, the other stuff, of course, is money. YouTube is free for Jonathan Geffner and Trillo and Suede, and Mary Parr is free. The Artist D has, go to theartistd.com, see what the Artist D has for free. And then For Culture magazine, if you go to the past, if they have the archive, you could read some of those articles I did back before Rocket Science. And then I took a big hiatus on Rocket Science. I'm not going to explain that because, you know, one guy, one person, one writer, regardless of their sex or if they're writing about sex or if they're not, whatever, you know, can't do 80 million things at once. So Rocket Science was never supposed to be like once a month anyway. But, you know, it was on there. Another one is coming up after I don't know how many months, I think. I say I think because I haven't heard back from the Artist D. You know, if it's there, it's there. If it's not there, whatever. You know, anybody can, I like it on For Culture. Sure, I can start another blog and put up stuff and write stuff, but I'm not doing that because as Harrison Ford said, what about that new project? Why are you doing it? And you say like, well, there's money involved. And this show and, tons of things I've done and continue to do for myself and for a small audience has been free. And of course, you know, the Jesus Oldman and I broke up. So I mentioned that. So that's gone, but you could still go to Jesus Oldman at SoundClick And you can listen to that stuff. You could buy it, download it, do whatever you want to do with Jesus Oldman. That's O-L-D-M-A-N. Yes, he is mature. It was mature. They said, always said mature in Brooklyn, not mature. And what else? Free or not free? I don't know, there's tons of stuff. I mean, we've been doing crap for a long time. And so we have. And we still do. Of course, 148.ca/Frank. I'm soon. I haven't told this to Phil Hong over there at SRN or 148. I haven't told him yet. I forgot to do it when we were talking, but I forgot to do it. And he's going to be real surprised to find out that my blog there, that I now have almost all of 2021 completed. I stopped to see if he fell off the chair. Mr. and Mrs. Hong will be together and will be on the show once. And congratulations to Mrs. Hong, who is going to be a citizen of the Western Hemisphere. Wait a second. Is that right? No, I'm wrong. The North America, let's just say, a North American citizen, thanks to all the paperwork and her husband, Mr. Hong, who's already, of course, a citizen, because he was dropped. Remember, you don't say born or came out or anything. You say dropped now. He was dropped in Canada, even though his heritage goes to the east. And he married a wonderful lady, Pearl. She's Pearl Hong now because they got married. So she'll be around and we'll help her. He'll teach her stuff to acclimate to being Canadian in this part of the world. And we'll have her on and we'll all do lots of stuff. So there you go, Phil. We'll do what we got to do until we can't do it anymore right here on Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. Manners name joins the title of the show. And by the way, that's right. My name is Frank Cotolo and I approve this show. See what I can say? I don't have a message. Tell me, I'm not young. I'm a man with a message. That's never been like this. Okay? Even though that now and then we mention things and do stuff. And we make fun of people. And sometimes we express our dislike for them, with fervor. But, this is not what Cotolo Chronicles was ever about. And it's not about me chronicling, although I do tell stories from my past. And from my past, of course, comes Tom Savino, who I'm going to call any second. Now, Tom, who turned out to be a very timely person. You know what I mean? Is he's always on time for things. Later in life, after his world, my entertainment partnership with him, of a comedy writer and a musician and a comedy team doing various teamly stuff, he went on to do something important, which was, teach in Los Angeles. Teaching. Something I could never do because I don't, I never had, enough, forget about me. So, Tom is actually a tip-top citizen and a great American. I don't want to start that stuff. Yeah, right, it's a great American. You know, if you live here and you're an American, you're a great American. I don't want to get into my legendary stuff because I am sick of it. And I urge you to go to juicedtalk.com, find the show I did about legends. Okay? And you will enjoy that. And you will understand how particular you should be using legend as an adjective, or it won't be a noun. I just correct myself immediately. As a noun, calling someone a legend or making someone legendary. The overuse of this stuff drives me nuts. And when I say nuts, when something drives me nuts, it doesn't, I don't get a whole bunch of people together and march in the streets. I don't, write letters. But I am on Twitter now and then, at Frank Cotolo, at TJ Savino is where Tom is located. And I am there and I do say things to people. And I have, that because we've talked about it. And of course, Twitter was announced on this show before any of those. That's amazing too, that I just the Zoomers. Oh, I hate when that happens. Stop it. Why the heck does a screen just... I hate that. Getting my son to fix it because I don't really want to bother finding out why it does that. There's got to be a screen thing there somewhere that says sleep. Don't sleep. The damn screen which I don't need. This isn't television. I just need this. You know, but I got to watch the meters. Okay. When the screen falls asleep while you're talking, what does that say? Not much. And I don't know what else. Well, you know, what else can I say? We're going to have a lot of people on. We're still waiting for the Coconut Monkey Rocket to finish their album. I'd have done like four. Forget it. For every four albums I could have done. I don't do albums anymore. Jesus Oldman will do 12. So I'm telling you. So even though I'm not involved with Jesus Oldman, and he took down all the songs we did together, and that's a funny thing that went on there. What the heck, right? You could go listen to him. We have no problem with one another. You know, it's like, okay, we feel it wasn't working out, so that's the end of that. Go down the Hallelujah Trail with him. Coconut Monkey Rocket, Martini Bomb. Yeah, absolutely. That's Jason Emmett, Eric and Ryan from Martini Bomb. Who else is going to be coming up here? Who knows? Who knows who else? We're going to get lots of people as we try to continue keeping this very unique, very unique. See, there I go again. I have, you know, since almost the beginning of this show, and the more I started doing the show from the beginning, not this show, particular one from the beginning, this show back before, it seems like ages ago, and believe me, 20 years is not ages anymore. But so much has changed in that amount of time. But since then, I have tried to, without hurting my style, which to many is annoying, but was the very style that made people listen in the beginning, because there was nothing like it, and then everyone didn't have a podcast. See, this is not a podcast. You can listen to this show again, and it's played on other independent radio stations, even though most of them are gone. And people do podcasts. Everybody does podcasts now. I don't know. I will ask Tom. Have we played this thing out? What do you think? I don't know. I love SRN, and I love all the stations that play us anyway. This really is no skin off of any part of my body. Because I just do it. I get a guest and we talk, blah, blah, blah. I do something and I talk, blah, blah, blah. I don't rehearse, you know? So, you know, we should find out. And I know that people are listening because I get emails and people say things. People are talking. So anyway, but that's not why I do it. And that's not why I was talking about this. What I'm talking about now is talking without just me talking or Tom's voice is okay. We'll get Tom to talk because as a guest, that's what he should do. Now, that means opening up my Skype. Whoop, whoop, we're going to hear it. Whoop, we're going to hear it. Whoop. And what that's going to be is, let's see. I don't know. You know, I'm not even going to complain about Skype anymore. What's this? Oh, that's a little picture of his. Savino Veritas was on this show. It was terribly funny. When I say terribly funny, I don't mean it was terrible funny. Outrageously funny political stuff. And just, you know, which is all part of pop culture. You make it a pop culture, especially this particular stuff in America. But Tom, we're not going to get really crazy with him and that stuff. We'll find out what he's doing, how it's going. And we'll talk about stuff. We're not just gonna sit here, or stand here. We're not just gonna talk about, I remember the old times, because we're mature. Don't worry about that. I know you're not worried, actually, at all. It's just, we tend to, talk together and have some fun talking. And it's kind of like when, I talk. It's kind of a rhythm. It's a thing. And we fall right back into place where we were back then. Back then. Oh, yeah. Hello. Hey, my name is Frank Catola. Man's name is the title of the show. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. We've been doing this, and we continue to do this better than anyone else. You know, podcasts and stuff. Originating at SRM Media Works, and then anybody else who wants to play it, plays it. And I think True Talk Radio is coming back. They were revamping again, too. I'm telling you, God bless these people who know how to do who do this, because, everybody does podcasts. I know, I sound bitter, but it's just, I don't know what the heck is. Let's call Tom. Okay, call. Yeah, free on Skype, call him. There it goes. There it is. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, bam. Dum, 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 dum. I wonder if his clock is set to not to six. His clock is set. Oh, that's him.
Yes. Here I am.
Yeah. There's Mr. Tom Savino, ladies and gentlemen.
Tom, how are you?
Jay Savino.
That's me, Joseph.
He's here
my
from...
Name.
You do sound a little different. Is that your voice problem?
That's my... Yes. Very weird dog I have. If it is a bug, I don't know if it's allergy. If it's allergy, it's the worst allergy I've ever had. It's some sort of bug, maybe bacteria. I don't know.
Is it nasal? Is it nasal, too?
It is nasal. Oh, my God. Yeah, nasal... The nasal was worse, but that's a little better. Sinus, nasal, and my affecting my larynx. I don't have a sore throat or anything like that. I just it's so much gunk.
Now you just woke up with this thing?
Yeah, actually, I did. Yeah, I just woke up with it. When I look back on it, I guess it was a couple of days before I, admitted I had something. When I said, "Gee, I was hard sleeping last night. I couldn't breathe." Yeah.
Everybody does that. You know, everybody denies in the beginning that they're sick, right?
Yeah.
That's just human nature, right?
I think so. I think it's probably, ironically, a healthy thing to
deny it right off the bat.
To deny it, yeah, because I don't know, people over the many years, which are approaching 70 now, people said, don't think you're sick because you think you're well because you'll be better, but I don't know.
We can't include all of the years we've been alive with all of the things we say because we didn't. Who remembers, right?
Well, that's true.
So you can't say I was four. I mean, what's your earliest memory? Did you ever tell me that? If you didn't, if you did, it doesn't matter because this audience never heard it. Do you remember the first thing? What is the first thing? Do you remember the first thing? No, you don't. What's the first thing you remember in your life?
Wow. let me think back.
yeah.
Let's go back.
You're in the right area. You're going the right direction. That's for sure.
First thing I remember, wow.
Doesn't come easily, whatever.
No.
Well,
I was going to say like my mother, but then I realized that I was just making that up. It's like, I guess it was my mother. Maybe, maybe it was.
Well, what do you mean? But I mean, it must be something, did or saw, so not just remember your mother. Of course you remember your mother. What do you mean? Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, I remember my mother.
Yeah.
I remember. Wasn't there a show?
I remember Mama. But that person was talking a little older.
Yeah, that's so like my first memory is what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess. How did I put it?
No, that's how you, I think that's how you put it. What was the first thing I remember?
Well, then what are we arguing about?
I don't know. Are we arguing?
If you said, I was the youngest, we don't know the youngest, you don't have to do it that way. How would you categorize it with your brain? Would you say, because
the earliest memory, let's see.
I mean, I have memories I know I was four, but I didn't, when I remember it, I don't, I have to do the math.
Yeah.
Find out I was four, but.
Wow. This is a tough one.
You think the bug is affecting your memory?
It's possible.
It's a tough one, huh? First, yeah. right out of the box. I got him, see? Out of the box.
Could be. Do I hear another voice there? Or
no.
Am I hearing?
Do you? Do you hear another voice? Because it's just his eye. And you're the other voice to me. I'm the other voice to you.
Yes. Yeah, I thought I heard an echo, unless it was me, because sometimes there's echo with these Skype things.
Well, I have, I have tinnitus or tetanus or whatever you want to call
it. Yes, so, I do too. And
you do?
Actually, during this bout, that's gotten worse. But my tinnitus, some say tinnitus, some say tinnitus. It never goes. It's always
It's always there.
Sometimes it's not as bad as others. But during
It's always the same. It's sometimes you notice it more, right? It's always there. Well, yours change?
I think sometimes for me, sometimes it's louder. It is louder.
Okay. Well, when? How can it be louder?
I don't know.
When it's quiet. It's quiet.
It's the same tone. It's the same tones. It's actually a couple of tones. You know, the tones never change. But the volume does sometimes change.
Wow. Okay.
For me.
I guess I haven't really studied tinnitus, so I don't know what if there are kinds of tinnitus. I do know that the best thing for it is noise, is making sounds, because not necessarily noise, because the definition of noise, right, would be different than sound, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
they have remedy things, I think, are like white noise.
Yeah, white noise.
That kind of white noise helps it, supposedly.
Yeah.
I wear hearing aids. I'm not wearing them at the moment.
I don't actually remember. That's funny. I can remember when I was four, but I don't remember your hearing aids.
Yeah, I've been wearing them for a while now.
Well, when did that happen? Well, that's just going to make you, doesn't that make your tinnitus louder? Maybe that's why it's getting louder.
No, it doesn't make the tinnitus louder. As a matter of fact, what I was going to tell you is that these newfangled hearing aids, I could have 10 different programs on it. It's a little too much. It's like overkill. They said, what do you want on this? I said, I want to hear, you know.
What do you mean 10 programs? What do you put programs on? What are you talking about? I don't know what
they program it. Like, for instance, they have universal, just sort of your ordinary listening environment, your ordinary listening environment. Okay, that's program one. And program two is you're trying to hear conversation in a noisy environment. So that's program two. So they, I don't know how, but digitally or electronically, they alter, the people who make these things alter on this, when you're channeled into this program, it eases out the extraneous sounds, like background sounds, and you could hear the person you're trying to talk to.
Well, what do you have, a volume control or something?
I do have volume control.
Well, how do you change
the thing about program? The thing about hearing aids, no matter what program you're in, the thing about hearing aids is when you raise the volume, you raise the volume of everything, you know.
Sure.
So, but with the second program, when there's an extraneous noise, but you're trying to hear somebody talk, like in a restaurant, okay? Uh-huh. You're in a restaurant, you're trying to hear people at your table talk. They have this, it kind of somehow filters out a little bit the background noise so that you're able to hear the people you want to hear better.
Isn't that what happens though with your ear? I mean, even if you can't hear them, isn't that what happens? It just brings the volume up, right?
No, that's when you're in the program that filters out the extraneous noise, somehow, and I don't know how, it diminishes the background sounds and keeps the conversational sounds higher.
So
if I raise the volume, when I'm in that mode, if I raise the volume, it will raise the volume of the background noise, but it'll raise the volume of the people I'm trying to hear.
Yeah, which means everything. That means it raises the volume of everything.
It does. It raises the volume of everything. But so, when you're in the extraneous noise program, before it raises the volume of everything, it somehow lowers the volume of the extraneous noise. I don't know how they figure that out, but they.
How can I do that? It's like this. I mean, like two microphones. If you had two microphones, right, and one of them you'd leave low, and the other one you'd put volume, bring it up, right?
Right.
So you're telling me that there's one instrument you don't have to move anything around like you did on a sound mixer or recording. It does it by itself if you put it on this particular program. It knows. It recognizes far away sounds, and it keeps them low?
Yes, in relation to the conversation, it keeps the extraneous noise lower. How it does that, I don't know. Well, you know, right now, at this very moment, Frank.
Sounds like magic.
I'm wearing
yeah.
Bose noise-canceling headphones, which has always amazed me. It's amazed me.
Noise-canceling.
Like, how the heck did they cancel out the noise? I mean, headphones are headphones. You know, you hear what's the input, but
so right
somehow
now
cancel out. Like if you're on an airplane, these were developed for people that travel a lot on airplanes, and somehow it cancels out the jet engine sounds. So like if you're trying to watch a movie on an airplane, and you use the noise canceling headphones, you could hear the dialogue and the music from the movie, but it'll cancel out the airline jet noise.
Well, if you wait a second. I've been on planes and had, you know, headphones, and when you put on the movie and you're watching a movie and they're making sounds, I don't hear the jet. I mean, you might get some vibrations because you're sitting in that big machine, but what do you mean you don't hear the jet end? Why would you hear the jet? You mean that thing? You don't hear that. You hear that if you put on your...
If you put on ordinary headphones...
I don't remember that. I've been playing a long time.
You would still be able to hear the dialogue and the music, but you would definitely get the disturbing, at least for neurotic people, the disturbing jet engine sounds. Mm. But if you use the Bose noise canceling headphones, it will cancel out everything that's outside the headphones would be canceled out somehow. It's amazing science. I don't know how they do it, but it is the same principle. It's the same principle that's on my hearing aids when I'm in the extraneous noise mode. It somehow diminishes the background noise and amplifies the people you want to talk to.
I don't know about digital stuff, and I know they can do wonderful things, but that's like, it sounds like magic. That doesn't even sound like science.
I know. It still boggles my mind how they do it. I was reading a little bit about it, but it's been way over my head scientifically.
That's where you have to have it, over your head. We can't hear.
Or yes, with these headphones, they're like right over my head.
That's my ears. Okay. Well, that's fine.
To get back to my hearing aids. So you got that program that accentuates the conversation but diminishes the external noise, and then you have the watching TV mode, and basically what that is it accentuates the sibilant sounds, because people, at least I don't know about you, but me, my stepdaughter has problems understanding dialogue.
You know, I don't know if that's necessarily a hearing problem. I know that sounds stupid because you got to listen to it. But I don't need earphones or headphones. Even with headphones, I have this issue with how they record some of these movies. I'm beginning to, I used to think it was me, but it's not. I'm listening to some things and they're talking and it's a close up and you hear this.
Yeah.
It's like, what did he say? You know, you're going to miss pieces of dialogue. I don't know about that. So you're telling me that their headphones, I mean, there's something I could buy and put in my ear, and it's like,
my hearing aids.
Never miss another word from a movie you're enjoying.
My hearing aids have a setting that I actually use often because I watch a lot of television. But, so I put on this, the third setting for me is, television setting. And it accentuates the dialogue it raises the sibilant sounds, because the biggest complaint about not hearing what people are saying on movies is we miss the end S's and the end F's and the end. So this accentuates the sibilant sounds and maybe diminishes the bass tones a little. so you could understand the dialogue.
I don't know why I'm laughing. I mean, this is like hearing impaired stuff. And I don't know why I'm laughing. It's just that, the sibilance, it's like specific parts of the speech sound.
Yes.
Become better. Even if the actor is doing, you know, an accent.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, you know, this particular program is much simpler to understand because it's just they increase the treble and they lower the bass. That's all for this one program. And when you accentuate the treble, the sibilant sounds, the S's and the F's are clearer or crisper, and the bass sound, the muddled, you know, you like you were illustrating by mumbling, that it's kind of a muddled bassier sound is diminished.
I'm not contesting it. I believe you, and we know there are, you know, miracle gadgets out there and things, but I don't quite get that. Now you have to go to, where do you go to get something like that? Now wait a second. Can you get these if you're not hearing impaired? Because think about it. If this is a problem with people who have normal hearing, people normal hearing is anyway, you know, I don't know what they're saying. I lose dialogue. You know, it's only natural to not hear everything they say. In other words, people without hearing impairments, is there a word, impairments?
Impairments. Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Without hearing impairments, need them too then. But they can't get it unless they're prescribed. Because by prescription, I mean, would be a normal thing. Netflix should make them.
Well, actually, they do. There are companies that make ear pieces it's not really for hearing impaired, but it is, well.
It's an impairment.
It's for
though,
the hearing impaired. It's for the TV watching hearing impaired.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So they do, yeah. You could get these easily. You could Google it and you'll see.
Where? Go where? You can go to the what? The hearing store? What
is here, it? You go to the hearing devices for television or, you know, for TV dialogue. That's hearing devices for TV dialogue.
Okay.
Because the biggest complaint of consumers or watch viewers of television is, those who are having trouble hearing, is, I hear the music and I hear the sound effects, but I can't hear, what the heck? What did he say? What?
Yeah.
It's like, so, they have those. So, they told me you could have 10 programs on your hearing aid, but it's like, what the hell do I want 10 programs?
Well, if you're 10 programs, what else could they have?
The fourth program.
Can you watch it? Program. Can you turn it to like Spanish? And they just.
No.
I'm never going to see, Parasite.
You know, that's an interesting thing. They might maybe someday do something like that, but they do have, there goes the brain problem. I was just going to tell you what they have, but they.
So they have models for all sorts of hearing impairments.
Yeah.
Whether you are physically induced, would that be the one? Ignited, or if it's just, well, you would always be physically, but it doesn't happen all the time with most people. Some people, if you're hearing impaired, right, you have problems no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay, so I hear most of the dialogue, but now and then I miss one or two, but I can get something just for those times. But I would never miss dialogue again.
Yeah, you could get hearing pieces to pick up the dialogue for just for television. Yeah.
How about
my fourth set? I got to tell you about my fourth setting.
Okay, go ahead. I wouldn't let you go.
My fourth and
that.
Final setting.
Yeah.
Is for tinnitus or tinnitus. You say tinnitus,
it's tinnitus and tinnitus. Tinnitus. I had two doctors who said it different ways.
Yeah, I think it could be said officially.
Tinnitus?
It could be said
tinnitus?
Either way.
Yeah.
Excuse me, here goes the throat again.
All right,
but the fourth program I have is for tinnitus. And what it does is it just plays noise. So I could still hear. And it doesn't affect if somebody says something to me. It's not like it's not going to drown out what somebody says to me, but it plays the sound of, it plays like white noise sound, kind of in a, almost like an ocean waves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like ocean waves. And it's actually very pleasant and relaxing. I told them, I said, I like this tinnitus thing because I especially like it when I'm driving. Mm-hmm. Because it's, for me, it reduces road rage. It's like, it's just hearing the ocean waves.
It reduces road rage.
For me.
So I don't remember you having a road rage problem. Oh. I don't remember you.
No, well, you haven't talked to my wife, I guess.
I didn't know you screamed at people. I used to scream at people.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And it was always for me, not for them. But go ahead.
Yeah. It was for you to vent, you mean?
Yeah.
To really, yeah. Well, yeah, me too. But
the tinnitus thing, wait, so it gives you the sound so that it takes the whistle away? Is it? It's a whistle, isn't it? What is it? It's a whistle, isn't it?
I would say it's a whistle, yeah. I'm listening to it right now. It's
like, I am too.
A little
not
whistle.
Yours. I'm listening to mine.
Yes. Now, wait, that would be really weird.
What, if I heard yours?
Why would be able to hear yours? I'll let you hear mine if you let me hear yours.
There's a science fiction movie in there somewhere. Quick, call Jordan Peele, somebody. That is the tinnitus. I don't even know, you and I did music for years. I can't even figure out if it has a key or a note. Do we have this? I wonder if everybody has the same note.
Oh, that's interesting. I never researched that. I don't know.
Because tinnitus has something to do with the air that's going through. It's not, the air is going through your drum or something, right? And it's making that sound.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what, actually, because I've looked into how did we get rid of tinnitus? And it's like, you're stuck with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you got it. Sorry. We don't know too much about it. Live with it.
William Shatner talked a lot about it. He went crazy. He literally was driving him crazy. But I find that it does drive people crazy. But I find that I don't think about it. It's like there, then so what, right? Has that ever really bothered you?
It has. I've had periods where it's really bothered me. But like I said, those times when it really bothers me is when it was louder. Because it does diminish. It never goes away. It's always there, but it does diminish. And sometimes, for me, it gets louder.
Mine never got
louder. During this bout that I have with every bug or whatever it is I have, it's louder.
Well, your ears are clogged.
And to make things more interesting, I have in my left ear, since I have this bug.
What happened to the other one? You got one left?
Huh? My...
Yeah, one of you left? The one you have left. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah.
The left ear.
The left ear. The one
as opposed gone. To the right ear.
Yeah.
But, has...
What?
It's like... remember that song in the 60s, Wipeout?
Sure.
The drum solo?
Sure. Want me to play it for you? Play it on the desk.
My eardrum is playing Wipeout in the left ear, without the guitar, just... Yeah, it's just my eardrum doing that. So
I love how it looks on the screen. You know the sound thing when you do that.
Oh yes.
Yeah, it looks okay. So what was it about Wipeout?
My left ear since I have this bug. Like every 5 minutes.
You hear those thumps?
The drummer from Wipeout starts playing in my left ear.
Isn't that, so that's just your ears kind of clogged and getting unclogged. Something's moving around in there.
Yeah.
The wind is going.
Remember this I told you? This has never happened to me before. This is just the first time with this bug. Again, with the left ear. If I move the cartilage of my left ear, it makes sounds internally in my right ear.
If you move the cartilage, and that's done how, and we're not on TV, but can you give somebody
if you just move your, take your hand and move your ear,
skin.
Flap it over.
Yeah.
Flap it over your ear. And you say, well, why does anybody do that? How did you discover that, Tom? why would you be moving your ear?
Well,
I discovered it, just putting my head on the pillow. And it's like, what the fuck? Oh, I'm not, I said,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's how I discovered it. It was like, hey, wait, what's this sound? What is this new sound? And then I said, I've never heard this before. And then I started like wiggling my ear with my hand.
Yeah, I was going to say,
not like on Bewitched or
anything. You remember that when people, can you wiggle your ears? I mean, people.
So, or was that a nose? I don't know. But, so I moved the cartilage in my ear and it makes internal sounds in my left ear. So I got something going on with my ear, nose, and throat.
It sounds way more complicated than that. I just got a whistle.
Well, the whistle is
Ever told me about, a doctor never said, well, you know, you can get one of these things that splashes, say air, white air in it or white noise, and then you could watch, you know, learn to read lips, I think, faster. Maybe I could do. But that's fascinating how the technology of hearing has also changed along with everything else.
Yes. I'm going through, how are you doing with this? But I'm going through a lot of pain and suffering. I don't mean physical pain. But,
or physical suffering. Do you mean physical suffering?
Physical. Emotional pain.
When they say pain and suffering, do they say pain and suffering? What do you sue for? Pain and suffering?
Yes.
Well, isn't suffering painful?
Suffering is...
Tom, I asked too much
pain,
now.
There's pain and there's suffering.
Tom, I've written... No,
I'm a story of us.
No, I mean, it's driving me nuts. The language is driving me nuts. The more I learn, the more I realize how it's being corrupted. And how horrible. Now, you've been an English teacher for many years, right?
Yes.
And you know, you've seen and heard how it's changed, you know, but I'm realizing that things that were told to me and said to me and taught to me are just like wrong. But anyway, so it drives me nuts. Really? It's just a personal thing I have.
Wrong. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. That drives me nuts. You're getting driven nuts, hell.
I'm sorry.
You're getting driven. Put up program three. Put volume. Click into program three. You're talking.
I didn't hear what you said. So
you're having a pain and suffering, which I think is the same thing. Because
pain and suffering.
How do you suffer?
Pain and suffering. In Buddhist terms, everybody experiences pain. Yeah. Everyone experiences pain. But suffering is optional, and that is.
And again, spiritual. This is spiritual.
Well, it's all psychological too.
Yeah.
Well, it's that as you begin to ruminate and spin your mind about your pain, which just causes more suffering. It doesn't make your pain any worse or better
than your suffering.
But it makes your you have unnecessary emotional suffering that you don't have to experience if you don't. You know,
I don't look. I'm looking. Okay, as you're talking, tell me what you're gonna what you're gonna say about this. I'm looking up. You know, I have this classic dictionary. I'm looking up suffering, so I want to know where I'm at here for pain and suffering. Go ahead. It could be a legal term too. I mean, you know, legal.
Oh, sure.
They make it right.
Yes.
They're allowed to do redundancies and all sorts of crap. Go ahead. What were you gonna say about?
Oh yeah, so we are having it is becoming difficult to navigate the changes in the world, especially technologically. You know, it's like we're not up for this. Cheryl, when I say we, Cheryl and I, and I maybe you, I don't know how you feel. You know, these things are just happening so fast, technologically speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
I voted yesterday. I voted here in California.
Yeah, this is the first time they're doing it that early, isn't it?
It's they made it super easy to vote in California now. So I just went. I printed. I did my ballot online, and then they said, okay, now it'll print out this little code pass. You can put it on your phone, or you can print it out. You know, I, of course, chose to print it out, so I have a piece of paper.
Apparently you heard them clearly, though, because you just told us what they said.
I did hear them. And I printed out my little code, And I went to the library where they had voting. They've been all week. They've been having voting there. Mm-hmm. This is for the officially March 3rd is election day, but we can do it sooner.
Yeah.
So I showed them the code, and this woman escorted me. She accompanied me to the voting electronic voting area. It was the first time for me, mm-hmm. electronic thing. And she said, okay, now we just put this here, scan your code under this thingy. And I did, and then my ballot came up on a screen. And she said, check it over. She said, is this what you want? Is this what you want to vote for? I said, yeah, that's what I want to vote for. She said, okay, press this button. So I pressed the button, and it prints out that ballot. And she gives me the printed ballot and says, check it again. Is this what you want to vote for? Is this everything you want to vote? There were 22 items. I said, yeah, that's what I want to vote for. She said, fine. And she takes that paper and puts it through a scanner. And then there's a little digital button on the screen that says submit. And she said, okay, if you hit submit, then you will have voted. And I hit submit, and that was it. She said, okay, you're voted. So
it doesn't sound like you had a problem, though. You said you had
no,
a problem.
No, I didn't, but if she wasn't next to me.
Well, someone had to teach you to do it.
Everything.
If you never did it before, now you know how to do it, right?
Yeah.
So it shouldn't
be
a problem.
Actually, now I know how to do it.
I know what you're talking about, though, because you and I have talked, you know, off the air about how things change, or how we just... We're a little bit more awkward than those who have grown up with all this stuff around them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, you know, when TV came out, we learned it quicker than our parents and older people, right? We learned how to turn it and do things and stuff, right?
Yeah, I guess we did.
Yeah, so, you know.
I guess we did.
I want to tell you this. Ready for this?
Yeah, why?
Okay. This is, once again, I always use this. It's the Webster's New American Dictionary. Was published in 1960 by, and this is not a joke, by Books Incorporated. Okay?
Books Incorporated.
I know what they did now. There's no chewing gum.
Great name for a publisher.
Can't get food. You can only get books at Books Incorporated, okay? This is a completely new and up-to-date, planned and written by modern educators, blah, 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 okay? Pain and suffering, right? Listen as I read the first line of the definition of suffer. You ready?
Yes.
To have pain.
Okay, that's the definition of suffer.
Yeah, to end or distress. Pain. It's suffering. To suffer is to have pain. You suffer from pain, or you have pain, mate. Because unless you're you like pain, or you're one of those guys or gals, or whatever pronoun you want to be. So it's a suffer. You suffer to have pain or distress, as in. He suffered greatly. To undergo as to suffer a change. But still, it's a painful change, right? Wouldn't that be it? Right?
Yeah.
You suffered, yeah. you made a great picture. That was a real funny one. Okay, and three, to submit as suffer little children to come unto me. And then there's one I don't know. And people don't
talk. That's the meaning of suffer. That's rarely used.
That's suffer right there. I know, but that's three. So forget about three. No one's going to walk around talking like that, right?
No.
So here it is. Suffer. You sufferable, right? Sufferance, suffering, suffice. Then you're out of the way. So there. So pain. So I want to sue for pain and suffering.
And
now,
suffering.
Couldn't a lawyer say, no, just suffering because it's pain?
I guess they could, especially if it's Bill Barr. Barr, you could say that.
This stuff drives me nuts, right?
See, the thing about suffering,
go ahead.
And it might not be in the dictionary.
No, yeah, right. So where is it?
But, well, it's just
how we say it.
In terms of psychology.
Okay.
It is because you step on a nail. And a nail goes through your foot.
Yeah.
That'll cause pain.
Yeah, and you suffer from it the moment it happens.
It causes pain. But what happens after the pain is that
You suffer from
your pain. Brain, your mind. Your
mind says.
Your mind.
Your mind says what?
Says. Holy shit.
That hurts.
There's a nail through my foot. And you create additional distress. You create additional distress. That is not part of the nail through your foot.
Of course it is. That you wouldn't be suffering. What are you suffering from? And the guy's going to go, pain. So in other words.
But if you have a nail through your foot, you have pain caused by the nail in your foot.
Isn't the suffering hurt? Doesn't suffering hurt?
When you see the nail through your foot, when your others, so of course, and the senses come into play here. All the senses and your psychology, and psychology, you can't separate. So certainly the nail through your foot is undeniably painful. Mm-hmm. It will cause pain. But when you see the nail through your foot.
What do you mean you see it? That's a big nail. You're saying it went right through your foot?
Went through your foot, a big nail.
Okay. And what about it?
And you see it extruding from the top of your foot. And so your sense of sight is involved, and then your mind grasps onto that and starts to fabricate all of these scenarios of doom. Oh my God! Yikes! And that's the suffering part. That's the suffering part, because you will have the pain in your foot, the nail in your foot. That's not going to change, but you then create all of this additional worry and unnecessary distress that we don't have to do.
Now watch me blow this one out of the water, because I'm looking at pain. The definition of pain is physical or mental suffering. So now, has this changed? Should I get a new millennial dictionary or what?
I don't know. Let me Google. Let's see. I'm going to Google.
Because that's
pain.
Right? I think pain. You won't be able to hear this, but it's something I do now and then, because that wouldn't be anything. No, I just wouldn't say anything. That just pronounces the word. Dictionary.com. They pronounce the word if you hit it, you know. So what are you looking
for? So pain, I'm looking at dictionary.com.
Yeah.
And it says physical suffering.
Physical
suffering or distress.
Distress, which was in the suffering definition, right?
As due to injury, illness, etc. Two, this is the noun form. Two, a distressing sensation in a particular part of the body.
Yeah.
The back pain.
Right.
Three, mental or emotional suffering or torment.
Torment.
Torment. I'm sorry my news causes such pain. That's the thing, is a sample sentence.
And then the person says.
The verb is to cause physical pain, to pain someone. Then another verb form uses an object to have or give pain. So, I guess, linguistically speaking, pain and suffering are inseparable.
This may be why people who speak other languages always say, I think I understand that, when they say, well, to speak English is so difficult,
yes.
You know, because if you know, and I understand, you know, we know pieces of other languages, and we know that that they have specific even forms, right? And they even have like a different masculine and feminine chairs, right? And they have things that are masculine and feminine always.
Yes. Like they have,
like hats would be feminine, right? And whatever, in whatever language.
Yes, people of other cultures now, most of the students I taught over these decades have been, foreign language speakers, and they found English very difficult, and especially idioms.
Mm.
Idioms are very hard.
And you can't teach an idiom nothing. though, because this is Cotola Chronicles. If you haven't figured it out yet, Tom Savino's here with us. Tom Savino, you remember from many things, including Savino Veritas. Don't you have a blog now? You have a blog, Savino Veritas, don't you?
Yeah, it's still there. Yeah. I mean, I haven't, yes, Savino Veritas. In fact, all the episodes are available.
There you go.
On Juice Talk.
That's right. I tell everyone every week, but also you have a blog which had stuff, if no one has read it, called Savino Veritas, right?
Yes. I do. I have a few, four or five editions of those or something. And I have small segments of Savino Veritas on SoundCloud too.
Yes, the SoundCloud stuff, which now and then you tweet. I told everyone your Twitter thing. Now you've had to, we don't have to get into this, but I notice I can't retweet any of your tweets, even though I follow you and I get, right? Because
you can't retweet them. Why is that?
Because it's no longer operative. The little arrows is not operative.
What is this, a Twitter thing? Or
yeah, I don't know. Or? I mean, I don't know. On Twitter, every time I see your post,
right
below it, where you could, you know, like it with a heart or, and, you know, whatever.
Right. And retweet it.
Yeah. I can't retweet it because it's not blackened in. It's not bold. It's just until almost invisible. You can see the arrows, but it's almost invisible. Now, does this have to do with the fact that you have a lock? You have a black lock now on top? What is that thing on Twitter?
I have a black lock on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just went on Twitter now.
And when I get a post from you, it's got a black lock. You know, it's just a little, which is just a little box with a, you know, ring on it, like it's a lock.
Really?
To the right of your name. And so I'm not allowed to retweet anything of yours. I can retweet something to you. I could see your stuff and I can add you, as I often do when I just put, you know, on top of something I retweet, but I can't retweet one of your tweets.
Well, let me go to my
and
tweet.
I'm suffering from not being able to do that. What is that all about? You'll have to look
so
into that.
So I'm looking at my tweet, my last. Hey, yeah, what is this lock here?
You see? There you go. There's the lock. What does that mean? Did you do something to your?
No, I didn't do this. Maybe they're locking me out.
Well, they're not locking you out. Everybody who follows you gets your tweets. So what's the big deal? Why can't we retweet your tweets? I mean, everyone.
Well, if you go to your Twitter account, and you look at your tweets, you don't have a black lock?
No. Would I know what it was? If I had it, I'd figure out, why do I have a, you know, I mean, you don't find out you're blocked from someone until you try to go there, right? But that doesn't have anything to do with this. So I don't know what this means that you have a
lock. I don't know
lock.
What it means either. This is news to me.
Okay. I thought maybe you did something.
No.
I don't know. Not personally for me, because I'm getting your stuff. So I'm not blocked. But what is the black thing? Anybody out there knows what that black lock is on a Twitter account? Can write to me.
It's right after my name is a black lock.
Yeah, I don't see it on anyone else's, but maybe I don't follow anyone who does. fcatolo@yahoo.com. Write to me over there. Tell me what that means and why I can't retweet something. Someone's bound to know that and want to say that they know it. It's good that I told you that because you don't need any more suffering, pain.
Probably D probably knows, right?
Maybe. maybe D knows. You could tweet D. If D gets it, maybe D won't get it because you got a lock on it. I don't know. I have no idea. I just,
I don't either. Let's see. Maybe the profile.
Okay. Well, you'll figure that out. Now that you know that, you figure that out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
And,
another technology thing.
And decide what program you're going to use when you put it on
there. Yeah, I'll use it. Yes. Oh, my final thing about hearing aids and programs.
Okay.
Remember, I only have four, and they said, "You want 10?" I said, "What the hell?"
10.
They said, "Well, yeah." And I said, "Well, what else do you have? I mean, why would I want?" And they said, "Well, you could get your phone calls through your hearing aids."
Oh, without having that extra thing that people wear, that, you know, see that thing people wear.
Yes.
That's a phone call, right? You can't dial out, you only call. Then you get the call.
I could get the call through.
How do you know to pick up? What do you do? Hear rings?
Yeah, I guess. But I shied away from it because I thought it would cause pain and suffering.
Well, yeah, you're talking and, you know, God forbid you crash or something. I mean, you're driving or you're walking. You could walk off a, you know, mall escalator or something.
Yeah.
Too much happening at one time. You're able to do too many things at one time now, which I think of, you know, younger people learn to juggle those tasks. And there's not enough time and care that we take to do it, right? You know?
Yeah, I think that's partly it, yeah.
And we're used to doing things like here's a phone, I'll take a phone call, right? I'll take a phone call. We're used to doing that, and then you concentrate on what you're doing, which is the phone call.
Right.
You're not taking the phone call and sending a tweet, right?
Right, yes.
And then quickly, while you're on the phone call, you're scrolling to see all the tweets and then checking your email at the same time. And so a lot of juggling goes on. But then again, what are you going to do? Are you going to have, if you have a contraption like that, brand new thing, right? We're walking around with a little thing that everybody, you could do anything on. Well, what are you going to do? I mean.
Yeah. Well, I just sort of minimize it because I don't want to.
Yeah, but we do. See, again, we're talking about us.
Right. I realize that because other people, I'm sure other people will say, oh, yeah, definitely want to have my phone calls come through my hearing aids. You know.
Yeah. So then I can talk to someone. And do they have a separate program if it goes right into your ear, what that's going to sound like. Right? We have a telephone program for your hearing aid?
I get, yeah, I guess they do, yeah. I opted out of it. I didn't want it.
Yeah.
One thing they convinced me of, I said, when I first got the hearing aids, I had the worst phone, the worst cell phone, terrible cell phone. I couldn't put any apps on it. I ran out of room years ago. For memory, I couldn't even take photos because there was just no more room. So they said, "Well, we'll put your controls right on your phone." Yeah.
So you didn't want to get more room? Can't you get more room? Can't you?
I don't want my controls on the phone. And they said, "Well, then you'll have to spring for another $111 for a little remote device."
Can't you get more space? Just
not
pace.
On the phone I had.
Oh, okay.
Then not on the phone I had. So when I first got the hearing, so I said, "Yeah, give me the little remote thing." So I got the little remote thing, and it's it's just a little thing you put on your keychain and you do it. But then when I got my new pair of hearing aids, and I got a new phone, then I said, "Well, put the control program on my phone now." And I said, "Oh, yeah." So, and she did. She, it took her 2 seconds to do that, download it or whatever. And I said, "But I still have the remote I bought." And I said, "I'll use the remote sometimes or I'll use my phone sometimes." And she said, "No." She said, "Choose one or the other." They're technologically finding if you use both intermittently, some days you use the little remote and some days you use your phone. It causes problems, so just decide one or the other. So I actually, make a long story short, I just use my phone, and it actually works better than the remote I spent $111 on.
I think these things are stressful if you try to make it a big part of your life. Because then you've got all these you can do all this stuff at once, or if you're in some kind of a business or you're working and you have to do all these things at once and it saves you time or money, then I would imagine these things have a greater use, right? Because I don't have to, text every 10 minutes to anybody. Even I have like 52 contacts. I don't send everyone a thing. And then, this is what I love about Twitter. I've talked about this too. Twitter the younger kids, the Zoomers, and some of the millennials. I don't know who they're talking to, but I follow some people I know, right? And I don't know who they're talking to. And then there's just like one line, right? And, and just suddenly I get to, you know, this friend, a younger guy I know, he puts up there and the line goes something like this. Hey, ain't no good, bitch. What the hell? What WTF, eh? I'm like, why? Yeah. What does this mean? Am I supposed to, am I getting a message to me or what?
Yeah, that has been driving me crazy for years with Twitter. I'll see these tweets and it's like, what are you talking to me? I feel like Travis Bickle or something.
And then, yeah, they don't, you know, and girls say things like, don't love me. Period. That's it. It's, what are they? And I would ask, you know, I've had people block me based on the fact that I would either say something funny, you know, as a reply. And, I don't know. They take it some way. I guess I didn't know the language or what have you. I says, well, we're not, you know, I'm going to get you anymore. And it's not like I'm saying anything or trying to be, you know, anything, eat sexual or anything. I'll just say something absolutely ridiculous. So, I mean, I don't know what they're trying to do. And I don't know. Do they, well, you have thousands of lists. Do you ever get response or do anyone ever block you? I've been getting blocked.
Well, it's funny you mention that.
Yeah.
The only person I know who's blocked me, and I'm sure other people have blocked me, but the only one I know who's blocked me was Donald Trump.
I heard that politicians are technically Twitter didn't allow politicians to block. There's a local guy that, and I know I've sent you, I put you on some of the things I write that this guy I don't like who is in, you know, congressman.
You're a congressman?
Yeah, this guy, I just don't like him. And I taunt him. Yeah, I know I'm doing it. And what the heck, you know, but that's okay. But they said, someone told me, someone from, unless that's just a Pennsylvania thing, said he can't block you. Really? Because you know the president blocks people, right? I mean,
yeah. I don't know, a year after Trump was coronated or inaugurated with it. I guess coronated is probably more accurate.
You could be editorial. You could be as editorial as you want. I don't care.
This subject came up and some court ruling or something said he has established that these are official presidential communications.
Yeah. So,
and he cannot block anybody, but he had blocked me before he was president and he's never unblocked me. And that's
okay.
Funny. I don't care anyway, because I see everything. Unfortunately, I see everything he tweets because people repeat it, you know, and they say, look at what he tweeted. And I see, you know. But he blocked me because I was pretty frank about how I felt about it.
You were saying things like, "Hey, Prez, WTF the bitch does it."
I
love those things. Like,
what do you call it? Is it an acronym? Yeah.
WTF, RN is right now, because they, you know, why write it out?
Yeah, and I got it. What does this mean? I have to go on Google and say,
but those things, the acronyms, that might have happened before they got used to doing it when it was only what, 140 or 120 characters? Maybe that's where that started. I don't know. That could be possible. But they still do it, and everybody seems to know. You know what's going on with it there.
No, I often have to look up. You know, it's like I have to translate.
Yes. Yeah.
These things, if I want to know what they're saying.
Blocking. But Twitter is Twitter. I don't. You know, I still get. You know, we still have the problem with the telephones. What are they? Telefrauds. What do they call them now? See,
Robocall.
Yeah, the robocalls. You see how it changes, how I guess because culture changes, pop culture, because the very nature of how we communicate and what we communicate, what we communicate, machines and gadgets and stuff, the language does suddenly have to say other things. And, I mean, it has to come up with other words. We don't have it. Imagine if we were only allowed to use words that we have, no matter what changed, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be Twitter. What would it be called?
I don't know. Right? That's weird.
IM. Yeah. They were IM. IMs were what? Instant message. But they had to say IM. They didn't, right?
Now, I am. Yeah.
Chat was. You know, chat. but
this, using, you know, it's interesting. I guess every profession has these things too. You know, give me the.
I guess it's jargon.
You need the SP3 and the one.
Yeah, it's jargon. It's all jargon. How many times do I have to say that? Jargon. We're both talking at the same time. We're not even listening to one another. We're having conversations with ourselves. Maybe you can't hear me. Should I yell? You want to say, want to fix the setting? Fix the setting. Oh, jeez. What are you taking for this thing? You're drinking down Formula 44s or what? What are you doing?
I did that for a while. And that helped me sleep at night. Fortunately, I don't think right now I don't seem to have to use that. It seems like I don't have to use that. And occasionally I'll take Mucinex.
You said Mucinex. You pronounce it. Yeah.
Mucinex. And during the day, but you know, all of these things have side effects that I hate. But you know, I mean, it'll get me through the day. I actually worked last Friday, and I went in and said, "Oh, I feel much better today." But it was really rough because I did everything to just stay awake for the day. Mm-hmm. I was just too. I shouldn't have really gone in. Is what I'm saying, I guess.
Well, what else are you doing? I often people don't know how much you do in the meditation and spiritual stuff that is part of your life every day whenever you can. Has that helped your since you had your heart incident there? Or, wait, is it called episode? What's it called? You see how they use different words?
They said it was a heart attack. I don't know.
Attack. See, I didn't want to say that. I want to say episode. They said heart attack. So you still meditate?
Oh, very, yeah, more than ever.
Because I saw a couple of posts you sent from.
Yeah.
What was it? What is it called?
I've been going through these Kundalini yoga.
That's not Italian. Kundalini. You don't mean Angelo Kundalini, right?
Hey, Kundalini.
Hey. Kundalini. Man, other side of Kundalini at the same time. What?
He sleeps with the fish.
What? Leave the gun. Take the cannolis. But you, what? You do what? So you do certain kinds? Well, I mean,
in November. Now, for 5 years, I've been studying. Self-realization fellowship. And,
now that's the self-realizing is the, I forgot. We have a psychiatrist, a doctor who, professor, doctor, whatever he is. He's not a physicist. Dr. Popoli, who's on our show now and then. He's always
I heard him on your show once.
Self-realization. What's the guy's name? Malmer? Man, who did that? That was a psychological thing.
Paramahansa Yogananda.
No, he's not Indian. He's some guy who talked always about self. Anyway, go ahead. So they call it self-realizing and, go ahead. Just go on. I forget about what I just said. You didn't hear me.
Yeah. So. So self-realization. Yeah. So I've been studying the self-realization fellowships, lessons for 5 years. And, then in November, I was, ready, having done the lessons, to seek initiation into Kriya Yoga and become a Kriya Yoga. What do they call them? A Kriya Bond. Which sounds like a new drug, actually. Okay. Kriya Bond. So, I was questioned and vetted and counseled. And
you're making it sound cultish, but it's not. What's the difference between this?
No, it's not a cult.
I know. But what's the difference between you initiated and into this thing so you could do the Kriyatans and other people?
Kriya bonds. To be a Kriya bond.
To be a Kriya bond by Tom Savino. To be a Kriya bond is not but once to. What is it? What have you become? What's a Kriya bond?
A Kriya bond is a Kriya yogi, who practices Kriya yoga. Mm-hmm. Now, this is Kriya yoga with a capital K because there's a lot of Kriyas out there.
Not Korea. You're saying Kriya.
Kriya. It's K-R-Y. How the hell do I spell Kriya? K-R-Y-I.
E-T. I just a reference nobody will get.
They wouldn't have initiated me if they gave me a spelling test.
Okay, so what do you do? You had to do a certain amount of other kind of yoga to be able to teach it. You said
yes. No, not to teach it, just to practice it. And it's a very intense, and I can't tell you too much about it.
Well, no, you don't want to make it sound like a cult. You just want to keep it to yourself.
Well, actually, part of the initiation is to not divulge what the actual. I could tell you.
It's like Fight Club.
I could tell you a lot about SRF. And I could tell you a lot about Paramahansa Yogananda, but I can't.
I won't stand.
I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly what the Kriya yoga technique is. Cool. But it is, I will just say, and those people who know yoga will know this, that it involves pranayama and asana and mudra and mantra. So.
Well, I know mantra and I know prana. Was it prana in there anyway?
Pranayama, yeah. There's a breathing technique.
I know that. Yeah.
There is a mantra. There's a mudra. A mudra is a hand position.
Aren't they sacred in India?
Yes.
The mudras?
Mudras, yeah. Mudras are sacred. Just mudras alone should, help you solve many things. But,
just anyway. Like mind control? Remember mind control?
Oh, sure. So Silva mind control?
Yeah. Is it like that? Do you have your own little place you can go into, like Sherlock Holmes used to do? He went into his mind, what do you call it, a mind cave or something, to solve the problems?
We went in the Silva Mind Control.
Yeah, there was two counselors.
Two counselors. We had there was a word for it. I'm saying special place, but they had a different word for it.
It was just this room where they had everything. They had a library, had a thing.
Have it anywhere you want in the universe.
Yeah.
Location.
You can't tell us about it because that makes it, it's an intimate thing.
I can't tell you the exact technique, except that I could tell you it involves
breathing, because you want to breathe.
Pranayama, mudra, and mantra.
Which should only be taken in specific doses together.
Well, this particular technique is
I can't even make a joke out of this. I don't know where he's going here. You're speaking a different language, and I can't hear this. Let me fix my volume here, because I think your sibilance is... Okay. Go ahead.
Raise the sibilance and you'll hear me.
Okay, so it's not to teach it. You were learning a specific... Let's do it simple so that everybody can understand it. A simple type... An advanced yoga procedure.
It is, yes. Okay. Yes. It is simple, but it is difficult.
Yeah, it's pain and suffering. It's the same thing. Difficult and simple. Those are opposites.
It's not pain and suffering. It's just
no, they're opposites. It's difficult, technique. But it's okay.
It's
advanced.
You would need to, your body would need to be,
So are you trying to self
prepared to?
Are you trying to self realize? Is that it?
Yes. The whole.
I'm going to find this guy's name. Go ahead. Tell us more.
The whole thing of SRF, which is Self Realization Fellowship, is for self realization. Yeah.
Right. Self-realization's fellowship. I just looked it up. But I'm looking for I'm going to find this psychiatrist, this guy. Self-realization.
Yeah. So the psychiatrist, is it somebody you had on your show?
Or? Well, what's his name? Yeah, talked about it. This is Hinduism, self-realization, right? To self-realize, yeah. The nine stages of spiritual self-realization. Here's self-realization, but I'm looking for the, not the Hindu, I'm looking for the guy who did this and talked about it and claimed you could never actually self-realize. But you obviously aren't, so you can't. Why can't I find him? Why is this all related all of a sudden to, self-realization, psychology. Okay, I'm going to find him here. Okay, hold on there. Self-realization is by the man's name is... This is outrageous. Self-realization, let me open this. Self-realization is the expression used in Western psychology, philosophy, and spirituality. And in Indian religions, in the Western understanding, is fulfillment of oneself, of the possibilities of one's character or personality. Now, if I go to Wikipedia, it might have his name. Because what's his name? He always talks about it, Dr. Popoli. Here is, we had a whole show on it a couple of times. Yeah. I can't see this. Where is he? Western psychoanalysis. I can't believe this. Wait, Carl Jung, Erickson, Winnicott. What, the main guy, they don't even talk about him. This is weird. Okay, Carl Jung, Erik Erikson, Winnicott, a guy named Winnicott, but that's not the guy we're talking about. The self-realized. But anyway, okay, here's Parashiva, Shaivism, or Shaivism. Is that Shaivism? There's an I in there.
Shaivism.
Shaivism. Advaita Vedanta. It sounds like
Vedanta. Vedanta.
Vedanta. It's like Savino Vedanta. That'll be the next show. He does. Yeah. I am other than name, form, and action. My nature is ever free. I am self. I am self, the supreme unconditioned Brahman. Brahman being the underworld, right? Mayan being the top, right? All the top, right?
Yeah.
That's basic.
Yes.
I am pure awareness. Always non-dual. Of course, duality plays a big part in this. That was by Adi Shankara. A little poem by Adi Shankara. I can't believe it. This guy. All right, that doesn't matter. Go ahead.
So the psychologist.
Where are you?
So
you're going to do this? You're going to.
So I started it. I was initiated in November, and I started. Practice just to do this, not like, you know, I'll be punished or something like that, or excommunicated or anything like that, but I'm supposed to do it.
Maslow. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go.
Oh, Maslow.
Yeah, Maslow. That's the guy. And here are the steps of self. This is what they always talk about. And there's a pyramid that has the steps. Self-esteem, whatever they are, love. Safety.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Forgot his first. I don't know his first name. Maslow.
Whatever.
Abraham. Abe. Abe Maslow.
Abe Maslow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I feel better. So go ahead.
He used to shop at my father's shoe store.
Remember him? Abe.
Abe Maslow.
What are you doing? I could have got your self-realization for $9.99. What are you going out paying all this? Okay. So what is this supposed to do? I understand. Forget about it. This is how people don't even know that much. But what I know is more than most people know. So tell somebody, anyone who's listening, why you strive, or why you would go through all this to find self-realization. What is this? Tell anyone. Why?
Funny you ask because for the immediate benefits or to reduce pain and suffering.
Okay, yeah, all right, fine.
Very specifically for me anyway, and I guess for everybody, but for me in particular, it helps heal my nervous system, which has been very damaged over the years from all sorts of psychological trauma. And so that, I mean, that alone, like, you know, for like the here and now benefits of it, yeah. And it does, I see improvements in my life in terms of relating to people, and you know, it's very much a lot of what I've learned all of these almost 70 years now is all kind of coming together, and you know, it's all unifying. Things I, you know, like Cheryl, my wife, friends, in case you don't know, my wife Cheryl has always said, oh, you flip from one practice to another, and you go from Buddhism and you go to Hinduism, you go to Buddhism, you go to Tibetan bone practice, you go to shamanic practice, you go out there in the desert.
Tibet at night.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And you do this and you do that, but you never, you know, but I'm finding now that a lot of what I've learned in all of those things are kind of coming together. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of similarities in all of those things. And basically, that, you know, I mean, we are physical bodies, but we're energy, you know, we are energy. And all of these yoga practices, the Kundalini practices, the SRF practices, they all deal with with energy and prana, which is the life force and the form of energy, and controlling it to better yourself and just to feel better, to relate better, to, you know.
Yeah, the physical benefits. I mean, even medical doctors, you know, when they say calm down, when they say whatever it is, they tell you to relax or chill. Is that it? Chill. Or if you got a young doctor and he says, hey, bitch, you go down, be chilling. the physical benefits are absolutely, they're not religious. They're actually physical. They're fine. They're good for you. They put years on you because, you know, we all act, overreact, stress, distress, pain, suffering, the whole bit. Right.
Yeah.
But self-realization is like an ultimate thing. I mean, Maslow said, you know, no one ever truly can self-actualize. Oh, wow. I said self-realization. Self-actualize. That's his.
Self-actualize.
Yeah. See how it came out? See, part of my brain knows, but I couldn't get it out.
The self-realization.
So this is to be a better person for yourself.
Yeah.
You want to be better. Well, you want to be healthy. You want to be, so it'll help you. Help your nervous system. Yeah, absolutely.
It'll help me. It'll help, how I relate to people.
Now, as a retired teacher, doesn't that come a little late? I mean, you've been doing this a while though. You were doing
it. I've been doing it a while, but like,
not this kind.
The thing, like I was saying a little while ago, I'm supposed to do this twice a day, which would take, it's an hour a day, an hour a time.
Right.
So it's like 2 hours a day. And I, you know, I'm retired, so I could do that, but I have not had, since I was initiated in November, I haven't had one day that I was able to do it twice a day.
I'm surprised that there's a time limit on it because, I mean, the best meditation at all, is like setting yourself in the now. You really don't have a time. You don't really assign times to it, right? I mean, you can, if you're meditating correctly, you know, 15 minutes could be, you know, you're not supposed to feel time.
No,
so,
you don't.
So why did they tell you 2 hours? How could they give you a limit?
The recommendation, only because it's kind of a logical answer, is that now this, you know, this part of it is, you know, a lot of people are not going to be into this, what I'm going to say here, but for every time I do a Kriya, movement, there are 14, 13, 17, there's like 20 movements in one's practice of Kriya. Mm. And for each movement I do, for each movement, I would clear like it's a ridiculous number of years of bad karma. So, you know, I understand people listening say, what? Yeah, what the hell? I don't know. But so the reason they said, you know, the more you do this, the more bad karma you're going to get rid of. You know?
I don't want to go into the karma thing again, because I did with a couple of people. I did a show with that. I don't know how that has turned into what, you know, the technical. You look up, I don't know what a definition of it, but it's true that, okay, so we're saying bad things that you did. What is that interpretation? Because karma doesn't mean that in Sanskrit. But what does it mean? It means that you get rid of things that are going to come back and get you because you did something?
Well, it's not so much as, you know, getting back at you. It's more of
stuff that hangs on being what?
Yes, the seeds of karma are from past lives.
Okay, gets into that. Okay,
are affecting us now, mm-hmm. and it will probably, if you don't burn those seeds of karma, you're gonna be back for another life having to deal. Trying to figure it out, you know, trying to.
But there is a, right. Cause he really deeply invested into the historic, functions of it originally. You're into that stuff. But whereas, I mean, you don't have to be into that. You could benefit. Wait, what I'm saying, you could benefit from simple meditation and not worry about burning past lives, or if you were a Nazi or a short order cook, you don't even have to believe
absolutely.
It because it doesn't matter, because there is no past.
What do you mean there is no past?
We got a whole nother show here now, and I don't think we can get into this. We'll have to do this again. And you know that when you and I start talking about this stuff, I'm going to look stupid, and yet.
Yeah.
Only in the context of that, I will look.
I would recommend for everyone to be involved with some form of meditation.
I agree. We agree on that. Yeah.
And it does not at all have to deal with karma or past lives or.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mantras or anything like that.
It's physically
good. It does for me, but that doesn't, right. Absolutely. I've practiced so many forms of this, like Cheryl says, go from one thing to another. There's so many forms that, you know, you don't have to believe in anything. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in afterlife. You don't have to believe in past life. You don't, you would definitely benefit. Everyone would benefit from meditation.
I'm going to tell you that there's a book out called Washington's Last Years. I just moved to the site of it. George Washington, and I saw the author talking about it. It's fascinating what we don't know about the father of our country after he stop being president. I say that to you because as long as I live and my memory does work, I'll remember presidents or people too. The book that you found, I never found it again. I think maybe I did find it. Remember that? You remember presidents or people? I think it was just presidents or people. Yeah.
I bringing it up. And now that you mentioned it, I said, yeah, I remember that.
Certain things, you know, stick with you from in any possible way. And I do remember that. And I think probably somewhere along the line I read it, but I know we talked about it, you know, the humanizing of people. But I wanted to, tell everyone and you, that Washington's Last Years is out. And I just wanted to move to the side there because we could talk about that other stuff. And we will. We'll do it again. Come on again and we'll talk more about that stuff. And I'll try to be civil about it because, you know, we have different, I don't even want to say beliefs because beliefs say I'm crazy. Maybe, you know what we should do? We should get you and, we should do like two or three. Maybe I can get some other people. Dr. Waldar is supposed to be coming back one of these days. But he's he's been so busy, and I've been, you know, off and on and stuff. But you and I, we'll do this again. I say we've had enough. Let's get out of here now. What do you say? You've talked too much. I don't mean too much. You've talked a lot more than I thought you would. You should rest and stay liquid. And wash your hands always. Just keep washing.
Don't shake people's hands. Hit people with the elbow.
I am so happy that I have been saying that to people and, you know, telling just what, even before this went on. And there's some weird things, which I'll tell you, can't tell you on the air, but I'll tell you if we discuss about it, that have happened, based on this and stuff, you know, that weird stuff that happens that you, explain and I always think are coincidence. Based on, Corona 2, 3 and 19 or whatever it was. But anyway, look, you take care of yourself.
I will. Thank you.
And, you know, we'll do this again. I'll try to get some, you know, trio. We'll get a three or four some together. I mean, you know, on the radio here. And we'll do some talk or something. Have you heard from Tom Martin? No?
I have not heard from Tom Martin, no.
Drop him a line or something because, you know, a lot of, you know, I heard the other day some bad news about a person in high school and, you know, there's lots of things, you know, our generation is, withering, wilting,
yes.
A lot of pain and suffering is what I'm saying.
Yes. A lot of pain and suffering.
Say hi to Cheryl for me and,
okay,
meditate, use my name for a mantra if you want or anything. you know, plenty of other stuff. We'll stay in touch.
Okay, I'll talk to you. Bye, everybody.
Tom Savino, ladies and germs. There he goes. That's him. It's Tom Savino. See, we never know what we're going to talk about. It's just like, who knew? We're going to talk about his hearing, but it went so far. It went so quickly is what I was looking for. There was no pain and suffering. Unless you didn't like it or whatever. You can, this was, he's showing up at Juiced Talk one of these days. We're going to format it and get it out of here now. In the meantime, my name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And fcotolo@yahoo.com. You know the Cotolo Chronicles, topblogspot.com. Fcotolo, I said that. You can get in touch with me. You can do what you want. And we'll talk on Twitter @FrankCotolo. You can DM me. Can't say direct message. It sounds bad, though. Hey, don't you dare DM me. DM me. Hey, good night, Mrs. Ernst, wherever you may be located. Go buy my books. Amazon. Come on. And that'll be that for now. I have nothing more to say.